Welcome to Chevron's Locked, a Stargate podcast. I'm Chelsea.
I'm Jess.
And I'm Melanie.
We are recording a very special episode all together in the same room to give you guys a quick recap of our weekend at the Stargate convention in Chicago. So, we're going to just start it with, let's have Jess.
Oh, okay. So, we actually got here a little early so we could vacay together. So we were hanging out Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday. Saw a Cubs game, ate deep dish pizza. We ate a Chicago-style hot dog.
We went to the Bean.
We went to Millennium Park.
We went to the Art Institute.
Navy Pier.
Cubs game.
You say Cubs game.
Fuck. we met up with...
Oh.
I don't know how we should be
saying. Nice.
We met up with Nice Hat Georgia. I'll keep her identity secret. I know she doesn't like talking about herself.
We went to the beach.
Yep.
And it was awesome.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Who knew Chicago had beaches?
However, it was like 60 degrees, guys.
It yeah. Cold and overcast and windy. but still a beach.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, so that was all of that before the con itself. And then we got there Friday. We pre-registered Thursday night. We got our wristbands and checked in for our autographs and our photographs and stuff. And then Friday morning, we kind of hit the show early, and we checked out the vendors room.
We did.
It was kind of a small vendors room, but what they did have was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Do you want to say what we got?
Yeah, yeah. So you can start, Mel.
All right. So there was some guys there from Stitch's Loft, and I got a SG-1 jacket, which is pretty cool. I got a Sam Carter action figure. And some cards, some cards, and then that's it, I think.
Oh, is that it?
Yeah, I didn't get very much stuff. The jacket, you know, was expensive.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I just got the con official Gateway t-shirt and a keychain for my daughter.
And you got SG-1 shirts.
I got those today. Yep.
Yeah.
Because they weren't selling the t-shirt vendor wasn't selling Stargate t-shirts until today because Creation prefers to have, they're selling their stuff the first couple days, so.
Yeah. And I got some stuff. I got two Jack O'Neill action figures. I got a comic for Amanda Tapping to sign. I got a pack of SG-1 trading cards, the same ones that Mel got. I also got a SGC/SG-1 BDU jacket shirt that I'm wearing like a jacket. I got a Creation Con mug, and I think that's it.
Two shirts.
Oh, and I got two shirts that I'm wearing. One with Jack O'Neill's beautiful face on it, and the other one that's just an SGC shirt.
Yeah, I got a Sam Carter shirt and an F302 shirt.
Yes.
I didn't get new shirts, guys, because by the time we got there, they didn't have any smalls or mediums left.
Yeah. We didn't know it was, like, a thing to, like, show up early on Sunday and, like, wipe out the t-shirt vendors for old SG-1
shirts. We were there at, like, 9:45 or 10, yeah. And all the shirts were almost sold out.
Yeah. So Friday was kind of more of, like, a shopping day. But then they ended up having some smaller panels. So they had, not smaller, that's insulting to the people who were there. My apologies. Dan Payne, who, if you don't know, was the super soldier in Death Knell. He was also the
super Wraith in SGA.
Yeah.
He did a lot of roles because they're always prosthetic. So he played many roles throughout the seasons. If you look him up, you can.
Yeah. And same for Alex Zahara was also there. He was Michael in 1969. He was the dude from Space Race whose name I don't remember.
He was also, he's also
the Unas. Yeah. Unas. And then Gary Jones had a panel as well, who was obviously Harriman. So.
He liked to do lots of Don Davis impressions, guys.
Yes. Not necessarily good Don Davis impressions, but impressions nonetheless.
Yes. Yeah.
Do we want to talk about kind of highlights of those panels? Can we think of anything?
I mean, so Dan Payne talked about how he almost got, buried alive.
Yeah.
In Death Knell. So that was, like, an interesting story.
Yeah, he apparently was supposed to, like, only be under the dirt for a few seconds, and he ended up being under there for, like, two and a half minutes.
Yeah.
Because someone left a bucket in the shop.
Yeah. and then Gary Jones put a cool story about, and I actually hadn't noticed this before, but that Walter Harriman's name changed so many times.
Yeah.
So he was technician and unnamed. Then he was, wasn't he Walter Davis?
No, he was Norman.
Norman.
First he was just Davis.
Yeah, Davis.
Sergeant Davis. Then he was, because then he was Sergeant. Then he was Sergeant Davis.
Yeah. And then apparently in an episode, RDA just refers to him as...
It was in 2010.
Yeah, 2010.
When they meet up with him in the museum.
Yeah. And apparently RDA just goes, Walter? And Gary Jones was saying how you can't just say cut and you have to kind of roll with it. So they changed his name to Norman Walter Davis. And then...
And then Don Davis was trying to say Airman. And it came out, or everybody heard him say Harriman.
Because of his accent.
Because of his thick Missourian accent, which apparently I can understand, but other people have trouble with. I don't know.
Did you find it weird to say that I didn't know he was from Missouri, because he does sound Texan to me.
He sounds very Texan. But, so then his name changed to Norman Walter Davis
Harriman. And then finally, I guess, just Walter Harriman.
Yeah, they dropped the Norman Davis part.
So that was a pretty cool story. And then we did some, that was really it for the panels. Friday was pretty light. They had a yes-no trivia that we did. We all tanked.
We weren't great at it.
No.
Look, y'all, I made the mistake of accidentally putting yes on where the second Stargate was. When it was like, is it in Alaska? And I said yes, like the fastest I could. And then I was like, fuck. That's wrong.
I was just reminded at why I'm so bad at true-false, because I overthink things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And there was a really great guy. So the guy who made it to the finals of the last round had never seen an episode of Stargate before. His family had dragged him to this convention, and he was throwing up the answer before the question had even been asked. So, like, the guy doing emceeing the quiz would start the question, and this guy would just throw up 50-50 an answer, and it worked for him because he got all the way down to one of the last two contestants, and he ended up not winning. But it was very impressive.
It was
and I think he became a bit of a fan favorite.
Everyone was rooting for him to win, for sure.
Yeah. And that kind of wrapped up Friday, pretty low-key. Then Saturday hit. Saturday was insane. So
there's a lot.
Yeah. We kicked off with a Q&A with Cliff Simon, mm-hmm. who played Ball.
Mm-hmm.
We
found out that he kite surfs, which I didn't know was a thing.
Yeah, that was really cool.
That was really cool. And then we found out he was a dancer.
A professional dancer.
Professional dancer. He did that for a while.
He worked at the Moulin Rouge in Paris.
Yeah, for like a decent, he like the principal dancer.
Well, yeah, so he was there for 3 months and then they made him a principal in the Moulin Rouge for a year.
That's insane.
So that's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, he had a really interesting panel. I mean, Ball is not my favorite character. Please see Abyss. But it was really interesting to see how many people were there because Ball was their favorite character, which was news to me.
Yeah. And I love his South African accent.
Yeah, he's not the sweetest guy.
Oh, yeah.
Super, super nice.
He kept saying that some people at other conventions are scared to come up to him because they think that he's like Ball, but he's really not.
Yeah.
And so...
And he was saying that he ends up playing Ball like he was himself. Like, he put 90% of himself into Ball.
Yeah, and then just kind of dialed up that, like, dark side a little extra.
Yeah. So that was really cool. And then Saturday, honestly, the con ran really smoothly. It was a lot of back-to-back-to-back panels. So, like, right after Cliff Simon, we had a double panel with Tori Higginson and Rainbow Franks from SGA.
Tori Higginson is, like, the cutest.
So bubbly and adorable and awesome.
Yeah, I feel like I missed out on, like, a lot of the inside jokes because they were referencing Atlantis a lot. And, like, a lot of their, like, Rodney McKay, Beckett dynamic and, like, all the actors from that set. And I was, like, laughing with the audience, but I was like, I don't know if I'm really laughing.
Well, I mean, because you've seen McKay in Stargate.
Yes.
So,
I've seen a couple episodes.
So just imagine him in Atlantis being as annoying as he is in SG-1. Okay. There you go.
Yeah. Also, apparently David Hewlett is a whiner. And
yeah.
They joked about how whiny he is and how they liked to mess with him because of how whiny he is.
Yeah, I think it was, wasn't it Rainbow who like told a story about how he was David. David was hanging upside down and he was really uncomfortable. And so Rainbow was like intentionally messing up takes so he had to be upside down longer.
Yeah, that was totally, that happened, yes.
Yep. But they were great, and very hungover. Both of them kept referencing how hungover they were, which I thought was hilarious.
I can only assume that Joe was also hungover, because I think they all went out. Yeah. Because Rainbow actually brought out, like, this big, giant, gallon of water, and just started drinking it.
I think it was more than a gallon. It was huge. Like a 2-gallon bottle.
It was huge.
So then right after that, that was kind of it for Q&As for the morning. And then Wyvern Games came out. And they were talking about how they're going to be releasing a new Stargate RPG tabletop game,
mm-hmm.
which I think we're all pretty excited for.
I'm super stoked.
We're super stoked. And I'll get this more scoop on that at Gen Con first week of August.
Awesome.
I'm going to that. So.
I do think that if, you know, I mean, when it does happen, that we should, like, do it.
Oh, totally.
Like, through Skype or whatever.
Yeah.
Just because.
There is a non-zero chance that we will be playing through that and possibly subjecting you to that as well.
Yep. Be like a video podcast or something, because I don't know how fun it'll be to listen to.
Yeah, it might have to be like a video. Like a Twitch thing. We could do it on
Twitch. Yeah. We'll work the logistics
anyway.
Out. So then after that, this was a weird collection of segues here. After that, they did a really beautiful Stargate Command, which is a, if you don't know, is part of the MGM, like, fan outreach, kind of,
mm-hmm.
Relating directly to Stargate. They put together a really beautiful Carmen Argenziano tribute. Obviously, he died this year in February. Mm-hmm. And they just put together a really nice tribute, kind of all of his scenes in SG-1, some behind-the-scenes interviews, and it was really nice.
Mm-hmm.
I found myself a little bit, not like choked up, but just like nice and somber. And
yeah.
It was beautiful.
It was lovely.
And then we obviously segued into the very natural costume contest.
Yeah.
It was a little jarring.
Because that makes sense.
Yeah. Highlights from the costume contest?
So first they started out with the 12 and under category, and they brought up a kid in a super soldier outfit and a girl dressed as a Tok'ra, and we were all like freaking out that they were going to make us choose between these two kids to win the contest. And then they were like, you both win. And we all breathed a collective sigh of relief that we were going to have to vote against one of these adorable kids in a costume.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really cute. The kid had kind of assembled it from various like Marvel and Star Wars costume pieces, and the girl had she and her dad were matching Tok'ra and had made their costumes together, so that was really sweet.
Yes, I agree with what Chelsea said about the kids. The kids were adorable. Some of the adults costume contest people that stood out was there was a gentleman who looked exactly like Hammond. And actually, he was sitting behind us at one point, and someone was walking past us, and they actually did like a double take. Like, they stopped and was like, I thought you were actually him. And I was like,
well, he's.
Yeah, I know.
Dead.
But so, that was really good. The Tok'ra dad was really, really good. Mm-hmm. There were these girls that made, skirts.
Yeah.
That matched like the, SG-1 and the STA, Stargate. And they put individual rhinestones for, like, each, like, part of it to, like, make the gate. And they were saying, like, it took, like...
1,000+. It was a lot of hours.
It was a lot of hours.
Yeah, tons of hours and, like, 90,000 individually hand-placed, like, bedazzled jewels on each of the skirts. And there was two of them. It was crazy.
And, like, I mean, I applaud you guys, but that is...
It's insane.
That's, like, way over the top, guys.
They looked great, though.
They
those
did.
Skirts
oh, they
were
really
amazing.
Did.
Oh, and there was also a super cool Nox.
Yep.
Oh, the Nox. Yeah, yeah,
the Nox was
Nox.
Cool. There was a lot of great costumes. Those were just the ones that stood out to us, I think. And by the end of it, I'm pretty sure, like, the Nox, the Hammond, and the Stargate
the
girls...
The Tok'ra.
And the Tok'ra guy,
they all
tied. Mm-hmm. No, basically, like, we kept voting, and it all was, like, tying up. So they kind of split the prize money between everyone, so that everyone kind of won.
Yeah. So there were, like, five or six in the end.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so we actually were asked via Twitter to do a crossover episode with the Walking Through the Stargate guys, Zach and Brent, who, if you haven't checked out their podcast, please do so. And we actually met up with Brent, and mm-hmm. we FaceTimed Zach in, and we recorded a little episode.
Yeah. So hopefully we'll have that up for you guys in the near future. There are multiple feeds to try and smash together and make work out. So We'll keep you updated on that.
It's definitely a Frankenstein episode.
Yeah, there's lots of, so not only that, but there's also lots of, like, background stuff going on. Guys. Like, we got, like, sounds and airplanes and, like, music, and we had to, like, pause in the middle of it.
It's
like,
surprisingly hard to find a quiet spot in a hotel hosting, like, 3 different conventions.
Who could have seen that one coming?
But they were super great and super fun, and we hope you enjoy the episode as it comes to you. We won't talk about it too much here, because you're going to listen.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
guys. Yes, they were lovely though, and it was really fun to interact with them.
Yeah. So while we were recording, the Paul McGillian Q&A was going on, so we missed that, and we missed about 90% of Joe Flanagan's Q&A, but we caught the last few minutes of it. I don't really remember.
I wasn't there. I think
the story I remember is Joe Flanagan talked about once again how David was a whiner.
Oh, yes.
And he said that they were filming an episode where they were, like, dragging a body or, like, an injured soldier. And David and Paul were both whining about it the whole time. And so Joe said that after every take, he would put a rock into their backpacks. They would put their backpacks down and he would put a rock in. And then they would do the take again and he would put in another rock. And they didn't really notice until the end when they realized that Joe had filled their backpacks with heavy rocks.
It kind of reminds me of that, like, Parent Trap scene when the twins are doing that to the evil stepmom.
Yeah.
Yes, that was a really good Q&A.
Joe seemed, like, super nice. Super nice and had some funny stories like that.
For the, like, 8 minutes we saw.
Yeah, I mean, I think pretty much we saw him answering the question talking about pranks. And
Yeah. And then, so that was it for Q&As for the day. Also, like, all while the con's going on, there have been interspersed panels with Stargate Command coming to talk to the fans as their own panel. And they've been trying to basically revitalize. They've noticed that Stargate's popping back up. And they had mentioned that they wanted to get feedback from fans about what kind of content they wanted to see moving forward. And they basically asked to, like, for us to go interact with them. Mm-hmm. And so we buckled up all of our introvert powers and we walked over to the MGM lounge and we said hello. And Melanie, what happened when we introduced ourselves to, I can't remember her name now, Jenny? I don't quote us on that and shit if you're listening, man, is this embarrassing. But she basically is like the PR outreach person for Stargate.
And so basically what happened was we introduced ourselves, we're like, hey, this is Jessica, this is Chelsea, this is Melanie. And then Jess goes, yeah, and we do a podcast called Chevron's Locked. And then all of a sudden, she gets, like, her eyes go big, and she goes, oh my god, I love you guys! And we were all like,
what?
What?
And then we got big old hugs.
We did, we got hugs. And then she was talking to, She was telling us that the social media person, Beth, I remember her name.
Yes. So we were like, what?
And apparently Beth knew that Chelsea was from Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Which was impressive. It was just, I don't want to say jarring, but, like, I wasn't expecting that when we walked in. And so, yeah, that was pretty cool.
And I don't think we'll get too much into it, but she seemed interested in, like, working with us, potentially, so that would be pretty cool. She took down our contact info. She mentioned something about interviewing us and getting our story, so it was kind of surreal. Uh-huh. I mean, Chelsea, how did you feel about it?
I was pretty, but honestly, we had no expectation of anything like that. We just wanted to go introduce ourselves, tell them how much the fandom meant to us, how it brought us together, and how doing a podcast had, like, allowed us to connect with other fans and stuff. And then, so we had no expectation of them ever having heard of us at all. So it was just, we were all, like, trying to play it cool, but also, like, internally.
They also did ask, like, where we were communicating with people or, like, where some of the major fandom was. And we basically said, you know, Tumblr and possibly Twitter. If there are other people out there on other platforms, please let us know so we can, or tell them. They have an app, they have a website, you can go sign up and send them all the feedback you want.
I didn't realize how cool, so, like, I kind of peripherally knew about Stargate Command, this is not, I know this sounds like about to be an ad, but I swear to God, it's not. I had no idea that they existed. I mean, I kind of did, but not really. And then I didn't know they had an app, which is super cool. Mm-hmm. I didn't know they had quizzes and stuff. Like, imagine BuzzFeed quizzes, but Stargate theme, basically.
And actually, well done, Stargate
theme. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, like people who know the material.
So I knew about the app only because Travis, my friend who got me into the show, had told me about it, and he was like, yeah, you know, if you pay $20, you get all the stuff, and you get all the extra stuff, and, like, so if I ever take it off Hulu or Netflix, or not Netflix, Hulu Prime. Or Prime or whatever.
Which they are.
Which they are. You can pay, like, $20, and you can get, like, all of it forever.
And they have comics, too.
And they have comics, and they have, like, oh, and they have these cool interviews. What are they?
Yeah, Dialing Home.
Dialing Home.
Yeah. Which are on YouTube. You should go check them out. It's like behind the scenes interviews with cast and crew about their experiences on the show. And it's kind of fucking awesome.
It's really cool.
So yeah, if you don't know about it, now you do. You can come fan out with us because it was brand new information to us, which is super awesome.
Yep. And again, this is not an ad.
Yeah, not an ad. No, although if you're listening and no, never mind. So after that, we left basically just flabbergasted and gobsmacked, and we went back to the hotel, freshened up for a bit, and we stayed at the Marriott, and the convention itself was at the Westin. We went and had dinner at the Westin, and Melanie, would you like to tell us about the two types of special SG-1 drinks that we had?
So they had two, like, themed drinks. They had what was called a kalush, which is kind of like a Moscow Mule, but they put some sort of liquid in there where, like, if you twirled it around, it turned into, like, it was like
purple to pink.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like purple to pink.
Yeah.
It was really cool. I enjoyed it a lot.
It was kitschy and awesome.
And then there was one called the Asgard, which I didn't have, but Jess had.
Yeah, it was okay. I liked the Kalush better, but the Asgard was kind of like, I think it was rum. I think it was rum and like peach tea and like thyme infused syrup. So it was kind of like herbally and sweet. It was kind of like cough medicine, if I'm thinking about it correctly.
Oh, dang. I like cough medicine.
It was all right. It was all right. I would have had another kalush instead. So we kind of had dinner and enjoyed ourselves. And then Saturday night, for an extra fee for $40 for us since we were GA, it came in the, like, fancy schmancy packages for the weekend. They had a Stargate Cabaret. Chelsea, you want to tell us a little bit about the Stargate Cabaret?
So here's the thing, is that in my mind, cabarets are like dancing and singing and burlesque and body humor and inappropriate audience interaction. And so that's sort of...
Oh my God, I just realized body, B-A-W-D-Y.
Yeah.
I thought when you said it earlier today, you meant like body humor. B-O-D-Y.
I mean, that too. And I was that's actually what I just think. I was like, okay.
But I just realized you meant B-A-W-D-Y.
Yeah.
Okay, carry on.
All right? Yep.
Yes, got it.
So Gary Jones came out to open it for us and basically just told...
Did a Q&A.
He wasn't even a Q&A. He just told us his entire backstory in acting. Which was interesting, but not at all cabaret-esque.
We all looked at each other and we were like, what did we get ourselves into?
This was not what we were expecting.
Like, I kept apologizing because it was my kind of idea, because they were like, do you really want to go? I was like, it sounds like fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and so we got a lot of Gary Jones interaction. He was emceeing, and honestly, he did a great job. He told a lot of fun stories, other than his really not accurate Don Davis
impression,
which just made us all a little uncomfortable every time.
Yes.
But then Tony Amendola came out
and the night took a turn.
I wish so much that I could do justice to what happened next, because Tony Amendola informed us that he was going to be reading us some short stories that he'd written, which was fascinating. And he starts out by talking about Paul Revere and how we all talk about Paul Revere, but we don't talk about the man that served under him, meaning his horse. And we then got a first person perspective of Paul Revere's horse.
Oatly? Yeah, that sounds about right. I think I blacked out temporarily while it happened.
The three of us were like trying not to be laughing as aggressively out loud. I mean, it was meant to be funny.
I think so.
For sure.
God, I hope so.
But it was, I mean, the first person perspective as a horse was already
odd.
But then it was
We got sound effects?
There were, yes, horse sound effects. And so he's telling the story, and, you know, at first Oatley and Paul Revere were good buddies, and then Paul Revere took all the credit for the midnight ride. And
so Oatley went and fucked his wife.
You might think we're kidding about
but
that.
But we are not.
That is actually what happened in this story.
And in this story, he mentioned that Paul Revere was actually Richard Dean Anderson, and Paul Revere's wife was Amanda Tapping, and he, as the horse, he had a thing for Amanda Tapping, and Amanda Tapping had a thing for him, the horse, and they had to take pleasure in each other's earthly bodies.
There was a line almost exactly like that.
Yeah, so, you know,
and then there was a mimic horse orgasm.
Yeah, that happened, and I wish there are some things I want to undo from my brain. And it was not the only mimicked horse, I mean, orgasm of the night. Can I just... Later, there was, like, a noir retelling.
Oh.
And there was also something about Asimov and Tell It To Me Harder.
We skipped one.
Okay, to be fair. To be fair.
So we finished the horse story.
Thank God. We were in tears about it.
We were all in tears.
We tried valiantly. We posted a picture of us laughing. We tried. And by the end of it, we were, like, guffawing.
I gave myself a headache trying to hold back laughter.
But to give him credit, he transitioned immediately into this beautiful Shakespearean monologue mashup.
Yeah, so he did the As You Like It, All the World's a Stage, very famous monologue of the Seven Stages of Man. One of my favorite Shakespeare monologues. And so after the first two, so the baby and schoolboy, he did Romeo and Juliet as the lover. And he did Henry V as the soldier, and he did Hamlet, and he did
Merchant of Venice,
and he did
Desdemona.
No, it wasn't Desdemona. It was
Cordelia,
which was from.
Anyway, I'm uncultured because I didn't know any of this, so.
Yeah, it was beautiful. So he basically interspersed all of those other Shakespeare plays in with the Seven Stages of Man, and he did a great job. It was lovely. And
he also said that he only uses the plays that he's actually been in.
Yeah, he's been in like 25 of the 37.
Yeah, so he did a wonderful
really impressive
job. Like, honestly, if you ever have a chance to see Tony Amendola in a Shakespeare production, I would want to after seeing him do that.
And he kind of like alluded to he was considering making this like a one-night show kind of thing, like fleshing it out and making it a thing. So potentially look for that coming in the next, I don't know, year or two.
And then we transition to like this. At first, I thought it came out of Next Gen, and it did not. But it was like this, like sci-fi noir kind of a thing,
right?
Where like it was like against the law to be into sci-fi.
Yeah, and like there was this weird, like, instead of like a, basically imagine a noir where the PI is trying to crack like a sex ring, but instead of a sex ring, it's like a science fiction fantasy convention.
Like, and like smart people, right?
And smart people. Like smart people. It was guys who wanted to hire women to talk Stargate or talk sci-fi, like The Matrix. Like, ooh, I want to like hire twins to talk about The Matrix trilogy. It was very odd. And you may think, well, that can't be too bad. Well, let me remind you that we're still missing an orgasm. And Tony Amendola did a very forceful orgasm Asimov thing that I am not going to recreate for you people. You can use your imaginations. And then the tears of laughter started up once more, and that's how we ended things with Tony Amendola.
Yeah. So it had been an interesting night so far. And then Dan Payne and Alex Zahara came out again, and I honestly can't overstate how fun those guys were. Through, I mean, they did a lot of stuff, interactive stuff with the fans, and they were really friendly to go talk to throughout, and told really fun stories about all the cast, seemed to genuinely love everybody involved. Oh, man, Dan Payne's stories about Glenn Ennis, the stunt guy, were amazing. Basically talked about how that guy, I mean, the stuff that he went through. So as Dan Payne playing like the super soldier and Uber Wraiths and stuff, he did a lot of fight scenes with Glenn Ennis and had some interesting stories to tell about some of the shit that that guy went through. So, yeah, so they came out and said that they were going to be putting on a non-copyright infringing sequel, sort of a version of SG-1 called SG Fun. And it involved characters such as Colonel Big Deal.
Yep.
Down for that action.
Yep, instead of Daniel Jackson.
And Major Love Starter.
Yeah, instead of Major Sam Carter.
And then it had, there wasn't a Teal'c character.
It was
they had Ronin.
Which was Rolodex.
Rolodex was Ronin Dex. And then instead of Carson Beckett, it was Car Salesman Wreckett. And instead of Elizabeth Weir, it was Look Over Here.
Yep.
And
instead of Anubis, it was Lord School Bus.
Yeah.
So, you know, they kind of, you know, oh no, we don't have a cast. All of our actors got caught up at the border, all that jazz. We need the audience to step in. And they started casting people. And then someone's hand shot up.
Yeah. So I got pulled up to be Car Salesman Wreckett, which was fun. They brought us backstage, and well, Dan did. So Alex was then out,
yeah,
grabbing more people to be the crew.
And so Mel and I thought, well, if Chelsea's gonna do it, we'll do it.
So like before he'd even like gotten the words out, like my hand shot up.
And then I was like, oh fuck, if Mel's doing it, I'm definitely doing it.
And so then Alex was like, okay, I see you two back there. I got you. Like, calm down.
It helped that we happened to be in matching costumes, basically. We both were wearing our green SG-1 jackets that we had gotten that day. And then Chelsea, on her last vacation to Minnesota, got us hats that said "You Betcha" on the back, and they were blue hats, so we kind of had like a Stargate-y kind of vibe. Like, our hats look like puddles, I guess you could say. So we got picked to be the gate. So Mel and I were a great Stargate. We or as they called it, the squirm hole.
The squirm hole. Yep. So, yeah. So while Alex was setting up the sound effect people and the gate out front, Dan had the cast backstage putting on our costumes, which it turns out I discovered today. So I was just given a t-shirt that had like a VW van on it and then a terrible Afro wig. And then I saw Alex was wearing that shirt today. So it was just like Alex Zara's t-shirt that I was wearing as my costume. And yeah, so they gave us, we just had a script, but it wasn't a script. It was just our lines, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And he just said, we'll give you a cue and you just need to remember which line you're on. And we were supposed to just act out what our names were told to do. And that was like it. That's all the directions they gave us.
It was pretty fun. Like, basically, Alex was narrating the general story to kind of keep us all in line. The audience had cues for, like, when certain names were said, they had to do certain things.
Yeah. And Dan was running around the stage moving the actors around. And I'm not going to lie, I did not mind being manhandled by Dan Payne dragging me around the stage.
Yeah. So, and then we all took a bow. It was super, super fun. Like, everyone was laughing. It was a great time. We all took a bow. We hopped off stage.
I did the worst Scottish accent of all time.
You did a great Scottish accent.
I did great.
Sometimes it was more Irish.
Do you want to
give a little taste?
it's a live and in-person thing only?
Yeah. Okay. You had to be there. Mm-hmm. Then we ran into some people, and I'm so, so sorry. In the haze of, like, adrenaline and laughter, I'm not 100% sure I caught y'all's names, but y'all said hi to us. Y'all recognized us from the podcast. We're super, super awesome. Please tweet us and correct us and tell us your name so we can at least give you a shout out as compensation for us forgetting your name. And then Dan Payne gave us signed copies of Star Trek Beyond.
Yeah, because he's in that as well. He's in a lot of stuff.
Anything like prosthetic-y, like he's the guy, I guess. Yes. And that kind of wrapped up our Saturday. It was like a really, really busy, long day. It didn't feel like it took that long, though. Like, it flew by.
It almost felt like today. Like, yeah. I kept checking my watch, and I was like, dang, it's already like 5 o'clock. Like, yeah. What the hell?
Yeah.
So then we went to sleep with visions of Amanda tapping in our head. And when we woke up today, it was the day to meet Amanda Tapping. Mm-hmm. But to do that, we first had to get through another Q&A with Cliff Simon.
Yep. Which was still cool.
Still delightful. Cool. New stories.
He had different stories, so it was good.
Oh, man. And the guy, man, it's funny because we were trying to guess his age, and I guessed older, not because the guy looks fantastic. He took his shirt off.
And he's ripped as fuck.
Yeah. To show us the cool tattoo he got, like, old school style, like, hammered into his chest.
Yeah, in Hawaii.
He was very proud.
Yes. As he should be.
As you should be, because there's no,
no, hell no.
The guy has lived a life. He was, like, almost Olympic swimmer, a gymnast, then gymnast is how he kind of became a dancer. They needed an acrobat to do dancing.
He was in the Air Force.
And then he did, like, the Moulin Rouge. And so I'm like, dude, has to be, like, at least 60.
Yeah.
He's 50, 56.
So, yeah. So he had a really cool Q&A. And then we got called to do Amanda's photo op. Oh, also, we met up with one of our friends from Tumblr/Twitter, Mercedes. She's at XBleeple if you want to go check her out. She was super nice. Thanks for coming to hang with us, Mercedes. But we went and abandoned her so we could go do our Amanda photos.
I was with her.
Oh, Chelsea was with her. Mallie, you want to talk about meeting Amanda Tapping?
First off, so you have PDF tickets that you print off, right? And so Jessica goes, what number do you have? I'm like, I have 30-something or whatever. She goes, oh, good, you're in front of me. You can go ahead and go up front. And I was like, no, I need you to go before me. She goes, no, I have to see you go do this. Mm-hmm. And I was like, fine. So, like, we're in the room, right? And I'm totally cool. Not really at all.
No.
Jess keeps asking me how I'm doing.
Because you lost. You were so pale.
Did I?
Yes. I thought you were going to pass out. And then you, like, went mute. You wouldn't say anything. So I was trying to, like, cheer you up and be like, what's happening? You were so pale.
Then it was my turn. And, like, you know, she turns and says hi. You know, super nice. And I say hi. And that was really all that happened because I couldn't say anything else. And, And, you know, she gives, like, soft hugs. And, and so, yeah, and we took our photo, and that was really it. And then my heart was beating, like, super, really, really fast. And, yeah.
Yeah. And then I got to watch all of that happen. And then it was my turn. And I said hi. And she said hi. And then she touched me. And I said, my heart is going, like, a million miles an hour. And then she, like, squeezed me against her side, like, a little side hug, and she was like, deep breaths, and then she took, like, a big deep breath with me, and I was like, cool, I'm dead, and then the photographer was, like, obviously trying to take the picture, and I'm pretty sure I blacked out. I don't know what happened. I don't remember leaving the
phone. Do you
not? I swear to God, I don't remember, like, leaving her side. I'm pretty sure spiritually I'm still by her side. But it was incredible. She was so, so nice. Chels?
Yeah, so I went in a little later than them because I bought my ticket later than them. And I was just so, my first impression walking in is like, she's so beautiful mm-hmm. in person. But she was also wearing like pretty tall heels. And I was like, dang it, because I'm the same height as her. And I was like, you gotta tower over everybody, I guess. but so I was watching everyone else go, and she was so sweet with everybody, and there was one guy who had, like, a service dog with him, and she, like, they all knelt down so that the dog could be in the picture, and she was, like, loving on the dog. It was really adorable.
Aww.
And so I was, like, trying to be chill, and the girls in front of me were all like, I'm gonna lose it, and then when she was being all sweet with everyone in front of them, they're like, she needs to stop doing that, because she's gonna make me cry before I even get there. And so it was I just really enjoyed watching everyone do their turns, and then, she was just, like, super sweet. She shook my hand and pulled me into her side, and, she went to compliment my shirt, and it was, like, I registered that she did, but then I didn't really, I was like, oh, cool. Like, and because I would have, like, said, like, oh, yeah, I like the airplanes, and I could have said more about it, but
no.
And then I just took the picture, and she's so lovely and kind. And the fact that she did that, like, 200 plus times today and was just, as from what I saw, as equally lovely with every single person and beautiful.
And, like, along those lines too, there were people in front of us who were older and obviously had been coming to cons for a long time, And she greeted them like old friends, like big, big hugs and hey, how you doing? And mm-hmm. how's it going? And it was just like, oh my God, you're perfect. Okay.
That's going to be us.
I know. Yeah. So after we recovered and breathed in some oxygen, we made our way back to the ballroom and we waited out. Today was Michael Shanks's panel and then Amanda Tapping's panel right after that. What about Michael Shanks's panel?
Yeah, Michael's panel was fun, if cringy at times, which wasn't really his fault. There were some cringy uncomfortable questions and he wasn't super good at, he kind of harped on it.
There was no like graceful handling on his part.
But to be fair, there were some questions that you couldn't gracefully handle. Yeah,
there
handle.
Were some pretty cringy ones.
He got some cringy questions and he was really energetic and fun. And
real snarky and
a little snarky, and he had some fun with the fans. Like one girl got up there and said that Daniel Jackson was her inspiration for learning languages and that she speaks three languages and she's going to college, and he's like, wait, you aren't in college yet?
Yeah.
And she's like, yeah. And he's like, did you just come up here to brag about how you speak three languages when you're 18 years old? And kind of just gave her a hard time.
Yeah.
He
didn't tell, I don't think he told, like, to be fair, no one asked him about lots of Stargate. Like on set questions. He did give us a cool piece of information about Threads, about how the reason that Oma's like whole thing was in the diner was because MGM's show Dead Like Me was on hiatus and that set was free and available.
Free, available, and free,
cost-wise. All right. And that's why it was set in the diner. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah. I thought that was a fun fact. Oh, he talked about how his least favorite episode to film and in retrospect is Hathor.
Yes.
And we really appreciated that.
Because yeah, he even said rape. Like he
said, yeah, that Hathor was like his rape buddy and basically acknowledged just how horrible that episode was from start to finish and like the girls gone wild, like seducing the men and just,
man, if you thought our emancipation episode was rage worthy, y'all just wait till we get to Hathor. We got a lot of feelings.
Apparently we're in good company because Shanks hated it at least as much as we did.
Yeah.
So,
and RDA.
So he mentioned, so he's like, yeah, I mean, you know, our Rick loved it. And he's like, he loved being a Jaffa with it. And he was like, which if you know Rick, when I say he loved it, I mean that he effing hated it.
Yeah. So yeah, the Shanks panel was great. Like I said, maybe guys, just a reminder, please don't be cringy with your questions. Just think these are people too. So ask a question that you would feel comfortable answering.
In front of hundreds of people
with cameras on you. That's probably going to go on YouTube at some point.
Yeah.
So then he was hustled off stage and then it was time for Amanda's panel, which was amazing.
I have to say, guys, like, if you get the chance just to, like, go see her, like, at a panel, it's, like, a million times better than watching it on YouTube.
Yes.
There's just something about being in the room that just
it's
makes
like
it...
It's, like, her personal energy.
Yeah. Like, I mean, this is my first con, and these are my first panels that I've really been to and stuff. And so, but, like, her energy and, like, just, like, I don't know, the whole experience was just really good.
Yeah, she's very positive and engaging and adorable. And
it was incredible hearing her talk so much about like empowerment and like her own struggles. Like I think as a woman in the industry, it was incredible to hear how many people came up to the mic and said like, "You're amazing. You're my inspiration. Like Carter's my hero. You're my hero." And asking for advice, like how do I navigate this world and that's gotta be a hell of a burden to carry, and she handles it with such grace and she gives such good advice.
Really good advice.
And it was just like I felt like I was at like a inspirational, motivational like meeting of some kind. I just felt like I wanted to go kick some ass afterwards.
Well, I wanted to kick some ass because she mentioned a story of a man who called her
an effing C-word.
And I was like, who is it? I will kick his ass. Mm-hmm. But the way that she talked about how she handled it was just like, I was like, that's so brilliant.
It was all about like, she was talking about like how we have to walk this thin line, this delicate thin line of being confrontational and standing up for ourselves. But also, you have to stay true to yourself. And because Amanda was saying that she isn't confrontational. So instead of her saying, you know, I'm going to fire you, what she told this guy was, is you can call me an F and C word, but when you do it, you better do it in an Irish accent. And so it's kind of one of those ways where it's like, that's the way that she prefers to diffuse and handle confrontation. She's staying true to herself. She's handling the situation. She's drawing attention to it so people know that it's not okay.
Yeah, and she's not just letting get away with being an asshole.
Totally.
I may need to start doing that because I'm pretty good at work at letting people kind of like say things and I just like leave it alone. And I don't even respond. Like, I just like take it and just move on. But I think I might have to start like doing something like that to tell them that it's not okay if they're saying things like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was like that kind of stuff. And honestly, the whole panel was really just her like empowering. It felt like it was her just like passing on her wisdom on like, here's how you handle yourself with grace. And she talked about Bite the Bullet, which is the piece she did on YouTube, which you haven't seen. You should go see it. It's incredibly powerful. And how she talked about low self-esteem.
We can link it.
We can link it. Yeah, we can do that. That's a thing we can do. We have technology. She also talked about closing the Sanctuary for Kids charity and how she is now working with a new charity. I want to say it's called
Obaki.
We'll find out.
We'll find it and link it.
Yeah.
We'll link that too.
And we had one funny story about her filming Continuum, about how the rules for filming in the Arctic Circle, where you had to have an ice buddy. So if you fell through the ice, you were to strip down and your buddy was to strip down and you were supposed to get into this like sleeping bag together and then roll you up.
And wrap you up.
And wrap you up so you could like naturally heat back up without, hurting yourself because it's bad if you overheat too quickly from hypothermia. And, her buddy was her hair and makeup person, whose name I forgot, I'm sorry. But she told a funny story about how Rick was the first one to to volunteer to be her buddy and strip down.
And that he was disappointed that he didn't get to be her ice buddy.
Yeah.
But nobody fell through the ice.
No.
So nobody had to do that.
Chelsea, do you want to talk about the question that you asked?
Yeah, sure. So I just had mentioned that SG1, the team, has a lot of nonverbal communication, and I was curious how much of that was scripted and how much of that was just interactions between the actors. I mentioned like Teal'c's eyebrows, and I asked if how frequently it said in the script to gaze meaningfully. And she said that it was mostly just the natural evolution of being in a scene with the fellow actors and that they would kind of naturally react by looking at each other and kind of sharing those nonverbal moments, but that it would occasionally say, like, Teal'c raises an eyebrow or Sam shoots Daniel a look or something like that. But for the most part, that it was just them as characters naturally sharing those looks. And she did say that there were many instances of gazing lovingly.
She didn't specify which characters, but I think we can probably guess.
Yeah.
And that was kind of it for her panel. Mel, was there anything else from her you want to highlight?
No, I think we've hit all the highlights.
She said she didn't think she could direct horror.
Oh yeah.
Because it scares her too much.
Yeah, that was Mercedes' question.
It was, but she is actually directing a episode of The Chilling Tales of Sabrina.
Yeah.
So that'll be interesting because she said that she has to, like, kind of dip her toes in the water of, like, the horror genre so she can know how to film it correctly.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. But yes, that was basically it. I'm sure both Michael's panels, all the panels, I'm sure will be on YouTube at some point. There was lots of people videoing, whether they were supposed to or not, I'm not sure. And then it was autograph time, which actually went really smoothly. All things considered, there was lots and lots of people there. We got called up based on the kind of ticket you bought.
When you bought it,
that kind of thing.
And Amanda had to catch a flight.
Yes.
So, like, we were all kind of like, so, you know, we bought general admission tickets, and we were just kind of like, what does that mean for us?
Because she had this, like, throwaway comment at the end of her panel where she was like, I have a flight to catch, so I really hope I can get to everybody, therefore insinuating that she may not get to everybody. Yes. And as we were GA, we were like, oh, God, it's going to be us that gets left out.
Right.
But it zoomed by real quick. She didn't do personalizations. Obviously, she had a flight to catch. And there wasn't really time to talk at the table. It was really just sign and go. She was still absolutely lovely.
Yeah. She did make a comment, so, like, I had trading cards that I got signed that I'm planning on getting signed by everybody, but so she signed hers, and she goes, oh, that's cool. I was like, yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, and I had a comic, and she also, like, she, like, went to sign it, and then she, like, kind of, like, paused and, like, sat back, and she was, wow, that's really cool. And then she signed it, and I was like, she thinks it's cool. Yeah.
Yeah, she was, it was clearly in a big hurry, and they were shoveling people through pretty quickly. But yeah, so she signed my comic, and then she, like, she was kind of finishing dotting the T's and I's or whatever, and she looked up, and I think she recognized me from having asked the question a little bit, and she was like, thank you for coming. And I was like, yes.
Your Highness. And then we were all done, except someone bought...
So, I bought a Michael Shanks autograph because, like I said, I wanted to get... So, the trading cards has Richard Dean Anderson, Amanda Tapping, Christopher Judge, Michael Shanks, and Don S. Davis. And so, obviously, I can't get Don S. Davis' autograph, but I want to get the Core 4. So, I bought the Michael Shanks autograph after I bought the cards on Saturday. And, I mean, I just stood in line, and I kind of... like, got up there, and I was, like, the third to last person, and, you know, I mean, he'd been signing for, like, a good, like, hour and a half or so, so, like, you could tell, like, he was tired and kind of, you know, and, like, one of the markers stopped working, so, like, he had to switch markers. Anyway, so, he looked at the card, and then, like, he kind of was like, I don't know what color to use, and so, he grabbed one and then signed it, and then drew a little dork-faced Daniel with glasses, and then put in quotes DJ on it. So, I mean, that was kind of cool. I don't know if he did that for everybody's. I have no idea.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
So.
And then he wasn't on as much of a time crunch, so he was personalizing, spending a little more time, so.
And then that was it. The con was over, and we trudged back to our hotel. We ordered deep dish pizza. We're watching Stargate right now. We just finished Smoke and Mirrors. And now we're recording this episode. And that's been our con weekend.
Yeah, it's been an awesome weekend. We really enjoyed it.
Yeah. I think we'll probably try and do this again next year. Either this one, which is Creation's Gateway, or I remember the production company who puts it on.
But I have no idea.
GateCon in Vancouver is also next year.
Basically, it's whichever, if he happens to show up, whichever one RDA is at, if he goes.
Yeah. So if RDA does one, then we'll go to that one. If he does neither or both, then it may just depend on
finances. Timing, and we'll figure it out. But we're definitely going to do it again, I think.
Or who else appears. Because Vancouver does seem generally to get more because all of the actors are
there.
Local. Yeah, so we'll see. That's a ways off.
Yeah,
so
we have a whole other year to save and plan.
I mean, my vote's Vancouver already, but I mean...
Also, guys, I just want to, like, reiterate, like, Stargate's definitely, like, we were talking to the MGM people, and it does genuinely feel like they're trying to get new content off the ground, and the only way that's going to happen is if you tweet and message and hashtag and all those things that, like, us millennials and whoever else is on the internet are really good at.
And it might not be a TV show, which I know a lot of people want, but, I mean, it could be audio dramas, it could be tabletop games, it could be, you know...
More comics and books.
More comics and books, podcasts,
more fan meetups, more cons, that kind of thing. So whatever it is that you really, really want out of the Stargate franchise to come back, you know, tweet MGM Television, tweet Stargate Command, let them know that's what you're looking for. Because I think they seem genuine and sincere that they wanted fan feedback. That's one of the things I think I took away from this.
Well, I mean, we did. We even got told in one of their panels that they get, like 12,000 emails or something like that, but they actually read every single one of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're filing and organizing, and they have a whole team dedicated to it.
Yeah.
So
they may not be responding to every email, but they are, like, filing and keeping track of what people are asking for and like, kind of noting what there is demand for. Yeah. So it's they seem really earnest and interested in knowing what the fandom is up to. Yeah. So.
And they brought up the whole Stargate Now thing that I saw it on Twitter recently where people were kind of like, you know, MGM doesn't care, you know, we did all this stuff and, like, nothing came of it or whatever. Well, I mean, like I said, like we all said, they're trying. It's just, you can't do, like, a movement like that and expect immediate results. You have to go through channels and go through the proper procedures and things like that. So, but it does seem like they're taking a step in the right direction.
Yeah, and they even said in the panel, too, that they regretted not acknowledging the, like, immense enormity of the Stargate Now hashtag. They regretted not acknowledging, like, that they saw you guys and that they're working on stuff. So mm-hmm. I'm taking it to heart. I'm taking a positive note out of it. If for nothing else, then I had a great time at this convention, but extra, extra positive because it feels like it's getting noticed.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I think one of my biggest takeaways from the convention is that the over and over again, every actor that we heard from just talked about what a family the crew, cast and crew were on SG-1, and that it really feels like that family mentality transferred over to the fans. Everyone we met at the con was lovely and welcoming, wanted to share stories. When they found out we were first timers at the convention, they were so excited to like share their stories with us, which a lot of fandoms, kind of the older guard is kind of protective and like, I've been doing this and mm-hmm. I've been with this for years and years. But it was like when we would say we were first timers, they're like, oh my gosh. And mm-hmm. so excited to welcome us. And so I just have so much love and affection for the fandom. And I love that it seems to be a reflection of the show itself. And that just makes it that much easier to love.
Absolutely.
For sure.
All right, so this time next year, we'll be posting a very similar episode as we wrap up Gateway or GateCon 2020, and we hope to see you guys there. Thank you to everyone who said hi to us and who recognized us. We're really sorry if we said hi and had to run away.
Again, it wasn't our fault. It was that people were like, hey, they want to give you stuff.
Yeah, and so, we can't turn down free stuff. So.
Dan Payne wanted to give us free stuff.
Yeah, it could have been hugs, so we had to run for it. but we hope everyone can come out to one of these cons next year. It would be super fun to meet up with everybody.
Yeah, as usual, you can reach us at our usual places. So ChevronsLock7 on Twitter and at Gmail. And you can find me, Chelsea, at Cahils on Twitter or at Pianosa2 to the Fighting Eighth on Tumblr.
You can find me, Jess, on Twitter at Prof Tennant or on Tumblr at Professor Tennant.
And you can find me, Melanie, on Twitter at Melanie Martian, MARSHAN. Or you can find me on Tumblr at My Stupid Dumb Flyboy.
Thank you, everyone. And let's close the iris.
I was just going to say, we'll be back to our regularly scheduled programming. We actually have a couple of recorded episodes that we'll be getting up and out to you guys as soon as possible. So
thanks.
Thank you.
Bye.
And close the iris.
Yeah. Yeah, Mel said it.